Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and thank you so much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. I am so pleased, as I am each and every Monday, to be able to bring this show to you all. It is something that is dear to my heart, so professionally and personally speaking, I just want to say on behalf of Walking Into a New Life, thank you so much for tuning in. For those of you that are listening for the first time, thank you so much for spending the next 30 minutes with us. We appreciate you more than you could possibly know. Walking Into a New Life's mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. We are a nonprofit organization. We do request donations, and thank you in advance for them because it does help us to fund the different projects that we host throughout the year. Because we really try hard to make sure that those projects and programs are of no cost to our attendees. And certainly every donation that's made is tax deductible. Please do visit the website at wianl.org. Again, that is wianl.org. When you go to the site, you will see different tabs there so you can find out more about who we are, what we do, and why we do what we do. So again, I'm Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and thank you for tuning in to Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio Show. Now, I am so pleased to be able to present to you this week's special guest. She is a dear, sweet person, and I just love the work that she's doing. We got connected on Facebook and just immediately fell in love with her spirit, her honesty, her transparency, her bravery, and her resiliency. So I am just anxious to get started with this interview, so I will not belabor the point any longer. I present to you this week's special guest, Teresa Howard. Teresa, are you on the line with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to spend a little time with us today. And if I'm correct, you are in Texas and a little chilly there from what I understand.
Yes, ma'am. We had a little cold snap. It was warmer today, but nothing like we are having. But
right.
We don't want to. We like to watch TV and on our Facebook.
I imagine so. Actually, we're in Memphis, and it's not too terribly bad here. Now, as you get closer towards Nashville, Knoxville, that's when it's really bad, but at least our roads are pretty clear here, so I'm thankful for that, but like you, it's cold. So, Teresa, since we don't have a lot of time, I will not take up much time talking. I want you to share with our listening audience just who Teresa Howard is and to tell us a little bit about how you came into the journey that you so bravely walk now.
Well, I was a normal teenager. I married young, which is not unheard of in Texas. My parents were busy getting divorced and kind of forgot they had us. I was a teenager. And so the first person who paid attention to me, I thought I was in love, and I married him. Was unaware, you know, he was 10 years older than me, so I was unaware then of the signs for domestic violence and for red flags, because that wasn't taught in our schools. You know, relationship abuse or relationship red flags, that was not something that was brought to our attention back then. And
right.
I married him, and the verbal abuse started immediately. I mean, before we were even married, because I lived with him first, and it started immediately. I could never do anything right. I was never smart enough. You know, he was older. And that should have been a red flag for me, but I just thought, I can't do anything right. And so, you know, I was groomed into the physical, because by the time our first child had come along, I was pregnant with her, the physical began, the pushing, the shoving, the hitting. And by then, I had a child with this person, and I didn't realize that it's time to walk away, take your children and leave. But I wanted to fix it. I loved him. And, you know, that's
right.
Why they'll ask you, why do you stay or why did you stay? We all loved our abuser. It wasn't like some random person hit you. This person is the person that you lay down with at night, the person that holds you, the person you make children with, the person you made vows with, that
right.
You told that you would love and honor and cherish till death do you part. I took them very seriously. And I really thought if I prayed for him, if I just did things right, and I made excuses all the time, if I just wouldn't upset him, if I just wouldn't, you know, do things wrong, if I would just be more obedient, if I keep a cleaner house, if I was prettier, if I lost weight, if I worked more hours, if I made more money. But never did anyone step in and say, it's not okay. And in any circumstance, it's not okay to be hit. It's verbal abuse is not okay. But no one told me that. I left, like all women do, but I came back because it was all I knew. We had bought property on his family's road. I mean, all of our property was connected. And so I was in a catch-22. Do I walk away from the life I built, the home I bought, the property I paid for, and take my children and go into nothing? And I didn't realize that there were people out there to help me, because it wasn't when the police came out, they would say things like, well, he'll sober up in the morning, because my ex wasn't and still is an alcoholic and addict. They'd say, oh, he'll sober up in the morning. He didn't really mean it. You know he loves you, because we're from a small town. And I knew the people who were coming out. I went to church with some of them on Sunday. And so I never knew leaving was an option until I had grandkids. I stayed 20-plus years. My kids were grown before I decided to leave. And I heard him talking to my grandchildren, the way he had talked to me, the way he had talked to my children. And I thought, you can't have another generation. I won't allow it. Right. It was like, you'll hear women say that was the straw that broke the camel's back or something just snapped in me. I just knew it was that was it. I wasn't going to live another day, living like that. I wasn't going to listen to it. I was going to be abused. And I left by sheriff's escort. It's not like I just said, oh, I think we'll get divorced, because it didn't work well. And so when you leave, you need to have a plan, because it's never good to tell them that you're leaving, because I paid the bills. I was married for 20-plus years, but I worked three jobs. In hindsight, I say I could have supported myself. I was doing it anyway, but just putting up with him because I thought I needed that family unit. I mean, I don't know, I was insane or something. But we all have those moments, you know. We don't get with our abuser saying, oh, this is the person who's going to hit me, or this is the person who's going to talk mean to me. We get with them because we love them. And a lot of times they pick us. I was 16, he was 25. That's not an even relationship. I was a junior in high school. He was a grown man with a job and a house. We're not on equal footing. And so, you know, he put me on the school bus while his brothers put their children on the school bus. So, you know, it's a very unequal footing when you come into that relationship. And it stayed unequal for a lot of years, and then I grew up. And the things that are okay or that you handle as a teenager that are cool, or, you know, an older person is paying attention to you, it's a great thing. At 25 and 30, you're like, are you ever going to grow up? Are you going to quit drinking? Are you going to put our family first? And it just doesn't happen. You will not change your abuser. You can't fix him. You're not the problem. You can cause his problem, and you will not fix his problem.
And I think that's a good plug to stop for just a moment, because you brought out some very, very good points that I want to go back and kind of piggyback on for our listening audience. So for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Boots on the Ground. We have the very brave and courageous Teresa Howard on the line with us today. Teresa is in Texas. She is a wife, an author, an advocate, a public speaker, and survivor of domestic violence. She's also a contributing writer for a newly launched magazine, and I want to talk with her a little bit about that in just a moment. So, Teresa, I just wanted to kind of put that plug in, because we had some new people who popped on, and I just wanted to make sure that they were fully acclimated to who you are and what you do. One of the most significant things that I want to point out that you mentioned is your age, that, you know, this started for you. And you said you met him at 16. And I think that it's so relevant. I did not know that at the time when you were scheduled to come on today, but the timing could not be more perfect. You know, I don't believe in coincidences at all. You know, next month is Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month.
Right.
So, but what better way for us to end the last episode for broadcast for January than to be able to discuss the effects of teen dating violence and what it can lead to into our adulthood. So you were, you know, by design, you were the perfect guest for us to have tonight because you are an example of what it means to be a young woman in love, a teen in love, and being misdirected, misguided by someone older, and the effects that it carried over for you into your adulthood. So, again, you couldn't have been a more perfect example of what that looks like and the bravery and the resiliency that you've displayed in getting your life on track. So, you know, congratulations to you. And I just am so honored and humbled just in knowing that everything kind of came together in this way. So, Teresa, thank you for being so transparent and giving such great information, because another point that you brought out is the fact that we just weren't taught. We are not taught, and no one, you know, especially because we're around the same age, I may be a little older than you, but I can certainly attest to not being told, you know, that other abuses exist and that they are just as harmful, if not more so, than the physical. We tend to think a lot about physical as being the only type of abuse. And when you're a young person, you know, when no one else has stepped in and really explained that to you, it's easy to fall into. So you gave some great points with that. Say that again.
I think our young girls misread the signs sometimes too. You know, if they text you every day and want to know where you are, if they want you on the phone constantly, they want to look through your social media sites, they want to know who your friends are on there, they want to know where you are 24/7. A young girl, she misreads that to, oh, he really loves me, he wants to spend all his time with me. She doesn't realize she's been isolated. You know,
absolutely.
She doesn't realize. We never, with my ex, I had no friends that were mine. My friends went by the wayside. For one thing, because I was with an older man, and teenage girls are not going to let, normal parents are not going to let their children come to my house or go with me because I'm on the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to protect their daughters from that. So my friends went by the wayside. So the only people we hung out with, visited with, were around, were people who were like him, people who talked to their women like that, people who treated their wives or girlfriends like that, his group of friends. So I'm isolated. Less and less family time with my family. My family was already fractured because my parents were divorced. But less and less time with my sister, less and less time, no phone calls, you know. We always had somewhere to be, something to do. We always had something more important. And we don't realize. I was like, oh, he just wants to be around me. You know, he really loves me. Look, all this time he's spending with me. And so we don't realize that we're being isolated till we look around in a year or two, and when we need somebody, there's no one there. Or when we run home two or three times, but we've always gone back, and family decides they don't want to get involved because, you know, he's going to come over here storming. My ex, he would stalk me. He would come up late at night and go up and down the road. You know, the road is public property. So you can't keep somebody from driving up and down in front of your house. You know, my parents would be trying, my mom and my stepbrother would be trying to sleep. He'd be driving up and down the road, up and down the road. You know, and I knew it was him because I could see the truck. I could hear the pipes. But by the time you call the laws, he's gone. No one tells you. The road. I can't keep somebody from driving down the road. You know, he hasn't actually come onto the property. And so people get tired of dealing with that. And I think if we have a family member or a friend that's in there, we just have to learn to listen and be there, because when she's ready to leave, she's going to need someone.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
No matter how many times she goes back or how many times she changes her mind or she's wishy-washy, you always have to be there. And that's why I started Take Action with Teresa, my foundation, because in Texas we had a lot of shelters, had a lot of places for women to run to, but we didn't have the year support. And, you know, if a woman can make it on her own for a year, her returning to her abuser is slim to none. Once she's been independent for a year, you know, she's prosecuted him or she's divorced him or she's left him, she's paying her own bills, she's got her job, she's in education programs, training programs, that likelihood of returning to that abuser or having another abusive relationship, because we are the foundation is to help with financial, to help with schooling, to help with job training, to help with even self-esteem and, you know, just building them up. You know, we do programs for the children, too, because our children grow up in the midst of this domestic violence, and they either bully or they get bullied. They play one or two roles. They're either the abuser or the victim, no matter what. That's right. The roles they play, because that's the roles they've learned. It's like when if you watched your mom be the mother, and she cooked and she cleaned and she was the mother, and your father went off to go to work, the likelihood of you repeating that role is very, you know, that's what you're taught. They're supposed to do. And so children who grow up in domestic violence, that's what they're taught to do. You're either the victim or you're the abuser. And, you know, it goes both ways, because boys can be the victim just like girls can. It's not always
absolutely
the women.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point.
At our report.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that it needs to be under. Are boys, but you know that's underreported.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Probably a bigger number.
Just men in general, boys, men, that is such an underreported number, because there's such a stigma that is associated when a man or a male reports, just a male in general, reporting that they mm-hmm. have been abused, assaulted, molested in some way. And in our teens, when we talk about teen dating violence, you know, that applies to the young men as well, because we have some young ladies who are emotional, and they do and they say things that are inappropriate and hurtful and harmful to our young men. And so we have to talk to both sides and make sure that they understand, you know, what is respectful boundaries, how to talk to each other, how to treat each other, real conflict resolution, how to walk away, how to understand our feelings and how to keep them in their proper place, and learn how to find non-combative ways to interact with one another. So you're absolutely right. Teresa, please tell our listening audience how they can connect with you.
And you can reach our website. It's www.takeactionwithteresa.com. You can email me at teresa@takeactionwithteresa.com. And I'm on Facebook as Teresa Holly Howard, and Take Action with Teresa is on Facebook too. So you can like the page. We still put updates on there. I do videos, inspiration. You know, one of the things that I want to teach the young, when I speak to young girls, AON, is to reach out. Because, you know, sometimes keeping it to yourself is the worst thing you can do. You need to tell an adult, tell someone that you know what's going on, because some parents are unaware of the violence that's going on in their teen's life. They don't know, you know, how he's shoving her at school, or how he's treating her on school, or how he's treating her when he's taking her out, or even how she's treating him. If she's stalking him on Facebook, if she's texting 25 times a day. You know, these are not things they need to keep to themselves, because even though these are young people, they do have violent ends. Hormones are very raging at that age. It can come to violence. So,
absolutely.
You know, they need to learn not to keep it to themselves, to tell a teacher and to tell, you know, a parent, an aunt. It doesn't have to be, you know, if you don't want to tell your mom or your dad, tell an aunt, tell a trusted adult, someone at your church. Reach out. Don't just keep it in you and your friends, because there is things that need to be put in place and protection. You know, our society is very violent now, a lot more than it was when you and I were young. You know, handguns, you know, teen death. You just don't know what can happen.
Everything is so much more accessible.
When they reach that volatile point. Right.
Yeah.
And so you just need to be, you know, sure that you're not hiding that or keeping it, you know, to yourself because you're ashamed that you got stabbed. There's nothing that you did wrong as a victim. It's not your fault. There's nothing that you did to cause him to act like that. You know, there's never any reason to be hit, just like there's never any reason to be raped. If a woman is naked and changes her mind, she has the right to say no. And so there's never any stigma to being the abused. You have to speak out. because if he did it to you, he'll do it to another. And so even
Absolutely.
If you think, oh, well, I'm broke up with him, I'm over that, there's another girl that he's going to be doing something to. And you need to reach out and stop that. And so you need to speak up. And that's, you know, my book is Breaking the Code of Silence, because when I left, I just told people we no longer got along. And when my friends and family, because, you know, when I left, he wasn't very happy. And so it wasn't like I could, but I could have left quietly. He didn't allow that to happen. And so then I had to be honest, you know, because people saw how insane he was, because he was stalking me and acting crazy. And so I just was like, it's been going on for 20 years. I've been dealing with it. And, you know, I just, you don't want to say anything. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want your relationship to not work out. You don't want to have to admit that you made a mistake. I didn't like to tell my mom she was right. But, you know, I was too young to be in love. But, you know, so these are things that as women we need to speak up, because if he'll do it to us, he'll do it to another. And you think that there's, you have daughters or grandchildren out there or nieces, you want them to be safe. And so you need to speak up and be strong and tell what's happening in your life, and especially young people, because, you know, the abusers can't get help, especially young gentlemen or even females. You know, there's counseling, there's conflict resolution, there's lots of things that can be put in place to teach them how to deal with that aggression. But if you
right.
never speak up and you never say anything, they don't get the help they need.
And that's the most important thing, I think, in all that we've discussed in the almost 30 minutes, is that it starts by speaking up and speaking out. And we have to learn how to let go of the fear and the embarrassment. One thing that I always share with people, Teresa, when I'm speaking and training, is that so many times when we have been in that place of being a victim, we think that if we don't want anybody to know. We always say we don't want people to know what's going on in our homes, in our business. And the truth be told, people know. People are already aware. You know, they don't say anything because you don't. Not always, but in many
yeah.
cases, if they don't know exactly what's going on, they know enough that to say that something is not quite right with you. And so we have to make ourselves
right.
available and somewhat vulnerable and trusting of at least one person to say, I'm in trouble, I need help, I need guidance, I need answers, I need something. And then for those, when you are that person that's being chosen to be talked to and be shared with in confidence, then like you said, you have to be open, you have to be willing, you have to be loving and caring and nurturing and understanding, because, you know, it's not about how many times that person has gone and come back. It may be that one time that they come to you that day and say, I'm ready, and they're really ready. And if you aren't receptive to them and you start belittling them and reminding them, oh, you're going to go back, you're going to this, then you may push them into a place of saying, you know what, I'm not going to trust anybody with this information again. And we are getting down to our last couple of minutes, so I want to really quickly have you to tell us about the magazine, because you are a contributing writer, and I know you just recently had your launch. So please tell our listening audience about the magazine.
Yes, I'm a contributing writer and co-founder. My business partner, Tracy Flowers, and I started Tribute Magazine, Women Changing Lives. East Texas is not a great yay for the women area, and so we couldn't find anything in our area that celebrated women locally. And so we created our own. Just like the foundation, we just said, this is a great idea. We're going to celebrate women who have survived. And we come out 6 times a year, every 2 months. And that's what we do. We celebrate women. Our first issue was on collaboration, on networking and helping each other out to build our business. And then our next issue for March and April will be on women giving back, all those who donate their time, their money, follow their hearts, they give to CASA, they give to, you know, Meals on Wheels, they give to the SBCA, whatever their volunteer is. We actually took nominations, and we're going to spotlight those 6 women and how they give back. You know, there's nothing really out here celebrating women, so we created our own because you need to be celebrated in your triumphs and in, you know, even in your sadness, we need to have a group of women who come around and say, oh, we'll get them next time. And so that's kind of what we've created.
All right. That is awesome. And I congratulate you on doing that, you and your co-founder. I had no idea. I knew that you were a contributing writer, but I did not realize that you actually were one of the co-founders of the magazine. So that even speaks even more volumes to the multifaceted ways that you give back to the community. And I really love the fact that you all came up with this idea because you wanted to be able to celebrate those women who are walking in bravery and giving back and doing. I don't think that we have nearly as many outlets for that as we should, but I am so glad to know that you are contributing in your way to make that happen. So with that, Teresa, I want to thank you for being a guest on our show today, for your time, your talent, your bravery. And please know, listening audience, that if you missed any part of the broadcast, you tuned in late, it will be available for replay almost momentarily after the show ends at 6. But certainly we will post it again in our social media sites, on our website, and we'll keep up with Teresa. And, Teresa, I hope that you will come back in the come back to the show again with us in a few months. Let us know what you're doing, how you're doing, and what's next on the horizon. So I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but I am asking if you would be willing to come back
to
and share with
Anytime.
Us. All right, awesome. That's great. Make
I'd love to be there.
All right, that sounds wonderful. Well, for all of you who have tuned in with us, and for those that this is your first time, again, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Boots on the Ground was created to celebrate those unsung heroes as well as those who are highly profiled, who speak on issues related to domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, stalking, and we certainly talk about other issues like reproductive justice, breast cancer, things that are social justice and economic justice issues that need to be talked about. And we celebrate those men and women each and every Monday on this show. Again, whether it's your unsung hero or if it's someone who's highly profiled. But either way, we want you to be aware of who is doing what in the community. We have been so blessed and thankful that we've been able to do this and be able to reach different states. So while we're here in Memphis, Tennessee, for instance, Mrs. Howard is in Texas. We have people in North Carolina, California, so everywhere from California to Florida and all those in between. So thank you all so much. Again, share this information with others because the other point of having boots on the ground is not just for you to hear stories of individuals who are doing the work, but each and every week we've been able to provide you with tangible resources that are not dated. So if a show aired in August, for instance, that information is still good and relevant to your community today. So if you or someone you know is going through a domestic violence situation, please do call the National Hotline for Domestic Violence. We will have that number posted on our site. Also, feel free to call us locally at 901-466-6182. Again, that's 901-466-6182. We'll get you connected to who you need to talk to so that we can get you going in the right direction. So from all of us at Walking Into a New Life Incorporated, I'm Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, thanking you for joining us again for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, be blessed, and we look forward to having you on the show again next Monday.